And now it is 11:04. We'll revert back to our 11 a.m. public hearing.
Okay. We have the public hearing, which is published, an ordinance providing for the temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential planned community districts. And we have Mr. Lank and Mr. Robertson here to speak to that.
For benefit of council, I'd like to pass out some documents before I start.
Sure.
Okay. Is this a list of the ones that are pending?
These are copies of the comments received on the ordinance.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this ordinance amendment on April 28th of 2011. Before you, on Friday, you was sent to you a copy of the report of the account of the commission, which is a summary of the minutes of the commission meeting on April 28th. Mm-hmm. What I've just provided to council is a copy of all the correspondence I received prior to and during the commission public hearing on the 28th, and also some emails and letters that have been received since. That actually came in. I got three of them today on emails. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't have provided all those prior anyway. This ordinance was introduced. Frank M. Key of Solutions Integrated Planning Engineering and Management LLC, Gerald Esposito of Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated, James Fuqua Esquire, Fuqua Urey and Willard, all provide comments in writing prior to the commission's public hearing. The ordinance was discussed by both the commission and council for the purpose of creating some uniformity in the way that time extensions are addressed, instead of a case-by-case review that currently happens. And because the commission and some members of council have stated that some relief should be given due to the economy, and that the intent was to grant an additional 2 years to either a preliminary approval or a final approval. Mr. Fuqua's comments included some attachments he obtained off the internet, and it made reference to extensions that had been granted in other jurisdictions. One was a Permit Extension Act of Pennsylvania, the New Jersey Permit Extension Act, the North Carolina Permit Extension Act, the Massachusetts Permit Extension Act, and the Rhode Island Tolling Statute, which provided for time extensions for projects that have received approval within a certain time frame. So they're copied in your attachments. So the first set of comments I gave, they're attached. And that came off the internet. I summarized what we had received and reviewed in files. It's a part of the report. Joe Conaway of Conaway Associates, a land use consultant, gave testimony. Frank Key of Solutions Integrated Planning, Engineering, and Management, LLC, gave testimony. Robert Ruggio, Vice President of Delaware Economic Development Council and a member of the CDAC board, was present and gave testimony. And Kevin DiSabatino was present, and as was Sue Bramble, a realtor, all gave testimony and support. Nobody participated in opposition to this ordinance amendment at the commission level. Some of the comments you have before you in the attachment I just gave you today, there are some that are in opposition.
Did the commission have a list of what they are, where they are, and how many there are?
There's the subdivision listing, which I reported to the commission. We're still working on that because of the number of applications that we have.
So there are quite a few then.
There are some that have been voided naturally. There are some that never got developed. There are some that are completed. We're still working on it now. We've got like 50 or 55 cases to finish. reviewing so I can complete that number. On residential planned communities, I believe that my number is correct. There were 86 since the inception of the RPC.
86.
Right. And that started like late 70s. There are 21 have not started. Four of those have just received master plan approval, so that's basically gets you down to 17 that aren't in some development stage. Two of those have been annexed, so now we're down to 15. And there are two filed to have still pulled out of record management. So that's the RPC section. Under the conditional uses, I referenced that there were 1,900 applications that we've processed since the inception of the ordinance, which has been since 71. This morning I quick counted, there's been 579 of those applications have either been, were either denied, they've been annexed into incorporated towns, they've changed the use and reapplied, so the same site's being used for something different. They relocated to another location, so the project is void from that site. Or some have been rezoned. So there's four or five different scenarios I saw that have taken place on 579 of those applications. So sounds like we had 1,900 conditional uses out there floating around. There's actually less than 14. Less than 1,400.
Pending.
And most of those are valid in operation. There are some more recent ones that are the numbers I have to double check. So we have to have staff go out and look at those to verify if they're in operation or not. So it's a tough number to pull, it really is. As I stated, Joe Conaway, Frank Key, spoke, Robert Arugio, Kevin D. Sabatino, Sue Bramhall all spoke in support of the ordinance. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this ordinance amendment. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of the ordinance amendment with revised language in sections 1, 2, and 3 by deletion of the wording at the end of each section that references and outstanding as of January 1st, 2010 shall remain valid for two additional years. Those comments were proposed to be struck. And inserting in lieu thereof the wording with a date of approval of January 1 of 2009 or later shall be valid until January 1 of 2013 or the expiration of the current approval, whichever is later. There are some that would actually, because of a 3-year extension on their conditional use or their subdivision preliminary plan, would be valid after January 1st of 2013. And for clarification of each of those sections, 1, 2, and 3, they were worded just a shade different. So I had to tweak in those words that Mr. Ross had stated in his motion. So section 1 would reference, notwithstanding the time limits for validity set out in Chapter 99 of the Sussex County Code, any preliminary subdivision plat under 99-9B and any recorded subdivision plat valid under 99-11 and 99-40, and then add, with a date of approval of January 1st, 2009, or later, shall be valid until January 1, 2013, or the expiration of the current approval, whichever is later. Section 2 would be revised to read, notwithstanding any other provisions of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code for any residential planned community valid under Article 16 and outstanding as of January, and then add January 1, 2009 or later shall be valid until January 1, 2013 or the expiration of the current approval, whichever is later. And then lastly, Section 3 would read, notwithstanding any other provision of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code for any conditional use action approved, pursuant to the provisions of Article 16, Article 24, and Article 28 of Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code, valid and outstanding as of and aired January 1, 2009 or later, comma, and relating to new residential, commercial, and industrial development shall, and aired, as the amendment part would read, be valid until January 1, 2013 or the expiration of the current approval, whichever is later. Then there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved with the revised language stated. And that motion carried 5-0. In the comments I provided for you, I referenced previously the comments from Frank Key of Solutions Integrated Planning Engineering and Management LLC. The reference is part of the report I gave you. The Tidewater Environmental Services letter from Jerry Esposito in support. And then Jim Fuqua's comments from Fuqua, Urey, and Willard with the attachments relating to the permit extension acts of different states. The more recent comments included a one-liner in opposition against the blanket renewal, and I'm not sure who the person is. He just has an email and he signed it Andrew, and I have his email address, but not who the person is.
Thompson.
The second one was from Stephanie Coburn, again in opposition with an email. Gail Schaefer, again in opposition by email. Betty Deacon asking for a listing, which I don't have completed yet. Not really stated a position, I'm assuming in opposition. Louise Bayless, also in opposition, was received by email that came in over the weekend. Jules Jackson, also in opposition, that came in yesterday. And then today I was handed a copy of it. Facts that was received in opposition from Citizens Coalition Incorporated. So they are the comments that I received email since the Planning and Zoning Commission. Also received an additional comment, which I gave to you separately, which was again from Frank Key of Solutions Integrated Planning, Engineering, and Management LLC. And he gave a summation of several pages about a project, different projects, what the costs are, what's involved, and all that. So I attach that for also for your review. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
We don't charge anything for these extensions, do we?
Pardon?
We don't charge anything for extensions.
Nothing is proposed? No.
If we did that, we'd have to do it by separate ordinance since it wasn't introduced in this ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
It would go into the fee ordinance, and we would have to adopt it, charge the fee, and proceed from there.
Okay.
We would have to do it by ordinance.
Okay.
Any other questions? Mr. Robertson, do you have anything to add as counsel for the Planning and Zoning Commission?
Not anything more really than Mr. Lank explained, just a couple things to expand. The reason that there was sort of a single date that was chosen, the January 1st, 2013, is because all these approvals all end at different times, and there was a discussion that would be a lot easier from staff's perspective to say, all right, here's the date that you get, instead of trying to figure out every single one of their different deadlines. The other thing is that this came out of discussions, I realized, before council, but also at Planning and Zoning, because on subdivisions, Planning and Zoning is the body that is receiving these requests for time extensions for all different reasons, and it's difficult to make a decision on a case-by-case basis, and the commission supported having it dealt with uniformly if it's going to be dealt with. So, thank you. I don't have anything more.
We're looking at blanket extensions. We're not getting the reasons if we do this, right? We wouldn't be if we pass this.
No, right. That's true. Under this ordinance, everybody gets a blanket extension, mm-hmm. as opposed to now where we're getting different reasons, and every one of them is different. I mean, it could be because of sewer issues that are, you know, private sewer or you know, publicly regulated sewer. Could be county sewer district, you know, design and construction or funding. It could be DelDOT.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, we've actually seen a couple times where the engineering firm that a developer had just disappears, mm-hmm. goes out of business. I mean, so you can see there's not any kind of one trend that we see aside from, you know, the ones we see are all in.
So it may not be the economy.
Well, I think all of these are probably economy driven. Yeah, no, that's.
Well, it always is. Yeah, right.
A good portion of them seem to be. That's for sure.
So what's supposed to happen in 2013? That's with the economy.
Well, I think there's the hope amongst the Planning and Zoning Commission members and probably everybody in the audience that we'll be in a better position than we are now. You know, at that point, though, under this ordinance, if your approval expired on 2013, you know, it's sunset. Yeah, so, you know, at that point, you know, you don't have an approval anymore unless there was an extension or some other measure that was taken then.
Yeah, we talked about that early on before, as we were introducing this ordinance, that we're looking at a shorter time frame, basically 2 years, and if we need to do it the same, go through the same process again, we'll do it 2 years from now. Well, 2013, basically, well, 2 years.
How many
people have to go through the same process again?
I got one last question. How many appeals did we have last year?
I think so.
In a year's time, approximately.
You mean extensions?
Extensions. Appeals for extension.
Almost every meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They meet twice a month.
They meet.
So basically, I haven't sat down and thought about that, but there's at least twice a meeting. Sometimes there's more than one that ask for an extension.
Okay, so.
The ones that the commission deals with mostly, we still have some that were approved prior to amending the ordinance on June 6th of 09, I believe it was, that are asking for additional extensions.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, they've only granted three. If you came in and asked for a fourth, then you've got to give us some really valid reasons as what the holdup is. And typically, they have shown just proof that there is allowable to give it one more time.
Well,
we always state this is your last.
I mean, logically, you would think somebody who's going to the, you know, the trouble of asking for extension will have good reasons.
Right.
You know, as opposed to coming in and not having any
reasons. Well, a few years ago, they just came and asked for an extension.
Right.
Now we ask for reasons, and that's helped give us a justification to agree.
Mm-hmm.
The new process, as of June 9th, or June 6th of 09, you get 3 years, and you have to be recorded.
Mm-hmm. For conditional use.
For the conditional use and a subdivision. There's no time extension. There's no provision for an extension from the commission on that 3 years, or is there a provision for the council to grant an extension before there was?
Mm-hmm.
That's for conditional uses and subdivisions. Then they have to get final approval and record it within 60 days of that date, and then they get 5 years to be sunset. So there's going to be some that go after 2013 because of their time frame that they're already involved in. Because we just approved some recently as finals. So we're still getting some, but it's really minimal compared to what it was a few years ago.
Well, having it on the agenda for today before we even know what we're talking about, what projects, where they are, kind of puts you in an unpleasant situation, I think. You're not even ready, are you, Mr. Lang?
No, we're ready because we can't do anything until we know what council does. Anyway.
But we don't know what we're talking about. I can't tell anybody what these projects are, where they are.
Well, I've had people for several year, months or even a year or so that have been looking for projects that are about to get terminated so they can go in and purchase it or oppose it later.
Mm-hmm.
I get different questions, but it's individually oriented. It's not in general. We're not sitting out here saying, here's a map, all the projects that are approved and these aren't developed yet, go for it. We haven't done it. We're not promoting these projects as far as the county. They were approved through the process, and it's up to the individuals to either offer for sale or go look for it to purchase.
You're going to have to still do some research, though, to find out where some of them are.
I have about 50 to 55 projects that I need to finish. Yeah.
Okay.
On subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
Conditional uses are pretty good, except on those, I have to send staff out and verify what their status is.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are small. Conditional uses aren't major. Most of the bigger ones are underway. So there's not a major big projects that are out there as conditionals. Most of them are smaller.
This is more really designed at subdivisions and RPCs.
Yeah, really it is. But the conditional use fell into the loop because they work under a time frame also.
We don't even get subdivisions here, so I'm not aware of what's going on with those.
But there's a lot of, in 02, I think it was 02, we voided 14 projects.
Voided?
14.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, the market was there. As soon as they got recorded, they started developing.
Mm-hmm.
And since 05, it started to fall a little bit. In 06, since then, it's just dropped, and they don't want to start.
And we were also
having financial problem with the banks.
And
the banks
continued, aren't
getting any
Lawrence, and we also continued through that period to approving more subdivisions and more RPCs and more, you know, we're adding into the
a lesser mix. Number each year is being
right.
reviewed.
Well, yeah, as the market went down, right, but we were still adding on to it.
In 05, we had 100, because I'm doing this off the top of my head. 05, we had 100. 06, we had 76, I believe. 07 was 45.
Is that sunset ones?
No. Application.
Applications.
Next year was 29.
Some states don't have that many.
Last year was 10 or 12. This year we have one or two. Hmm. I mean, I could pull the notes in and I can tell you what they are, but the number kept faltering as each year went came down. And it, you know, is it the economy or is it saturation? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of projects out there really is.
I mean, it's a governor on an engine limits the speed, and government and society oftentimes limits the speed, but also when circumstances change, we probably should revisit and try to speed things up if we can and offer a little bit less restrictions. This seems more of a ideological debate about whether this government should do something to encourage continued economic development rather than site-specific applications, because they've already been through the process. They've already been heard publicly, and they were approved. It's just historic economic circumstances has brought us to this day.
Well, the intent of this ordinance wasn't to look at site-specific. It was the problem, and we're trying to address the problem. Is there a need to grant extension for people to be able to get their project started that they've spent substantial funds, there's jobs that are impacted throughout those projects? And there are several that have come in, and they're on hold because they can't proceed. And so the contracts they had ready to start had they're on hold, and tough issue. It's all right. That's basically, as Vince said, it's the economy's got the biggest impact on what's going on right now.
And planning and zoning approved this 5-0.
5-0, okay. Based on what we heard, because we, as I said, we had nobody there in opposition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a policy to having these. These applications expire. There was a reason to have them expire at some point. They all did expire at some point. Has that changed now or what?
Well, I think that when you go back through the sunset ordinance, that was dealt with, you know, that a project that for whatever reason got approved, and it was just to eliminate projects that weren't built. You know, somebody got the approval and just completely walked away from it. You know, and regardless of this ordinance, that's still going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody's walked away from a project and it's a piece of paper and that is it, it's going to stay that way. I don't foresee very many of those at all moving forward, regardless of this ordinance. You know, this is designed to address the ones where folks have made a good faith effort and they're trying to keep that project going.
But you don't know that. If it's a blanket extension, you can't say that.
Well, that's true. You know, that's the reason it's a blanket extension, though, because at planning and zoning, it's really difficult to make that decision on a case-by-case. Where do you decide this person has done enough and this person hasn't? It's easy if they've got all their approvals.
That's what
but
we get
one,
paid the big bucks for.
What's that? I'm not making the decision, you know. So.
It's something for discrimination.
Yeah, it's one that we're really conscious of at the commission level, having to decide that. And the council sees it on the conditional uses that you all have to deal with, too, when they come in for their fourth time extension.
Some of the difficulties that we've had in doing this list and reviewing all these applications has been we have the 5-year sunsetting provision starts based on a date of recordation. We had to go in and find that date on each of these applications. That was one process problem. And that process also, when the commission grants final approval, the applicant has to record within 60 days of that approval, or it could be considered void. I found several, and I'll say more than three, that I've had to void because they did not record within that 60 days.
And you
so
have
I've
to
already recorded a couple. I've already voided a couple of projects, and they are the applicants are aware.
They are aware.
Right. But at least three. I'm just off my head. That's
now, would they come
so
in
again.
Under this?
Pardon?
Would they come in under this? If this were granted, would they come in under this then? Would they be
no, they didn't record based on their approval.
Okay.
So they've already failed. So they've got to start over. There's at least three.
Okay.
They had approval by the commission. They had to record it within 60 days. They did not record it within 60 days. They are void and start over.
And cannot be extended.
Right. They had to be reheard.
And what about the ones that have already expired prior to 09, or the ones that the developments that didn't get the blanket extension? How does that affect?
They expired them? Before 09, January 1, 09, and that's your adoption date, then they're expired.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to start over.
Mm-hmm.
The original, I believe our original date was January 1st of 10.
Mm-hmm.
The recommendation after hearing the comments from the individuals at the commission level was to change it to 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And in most of those cases, it would have been still in the valid time frame anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Any further questions from council of these two gentlemen before we open the floor? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in support of this ordinance? Mm-hmm. And if so, again, please state your name and your address.
My name is Joe Conaway. I live in the beautiful town of Bridgeville, Delaware. I'm here as president of Conaway Associates, which is a land use company. I'm also a member of CDAC, and I do want to take and make a correction to a news article yesterday. The original discussion at CDAC took place on August 6th, 2010. Mrs. Wheatley, who is not a voting member of CDAC, was not present at that meeting. The issue was raised because at that time, other states had begun the process of addressing what was a disaster in the construction industry, and they were granting extensions in at least two states that we were aware of then. Mr. Fuqua's letter has indicated there are certainly more states. So what we proposed today and proposed in front of you as CDAC a few weeks ago is not novel. It is something that's been going on around the country as people scramble to keep some semblance of economic development going in what many would refer to as the second Great Depression. We support this ordinance. And I'm here on my own time. I want that clear. It would be better for me not to support it, because if they have to start over again, then I could bill again. But that's not fair and not right. So I'm here on my own time. Someone mentioned that engineering firms, so that one company lost its opportunity to go forward because the engineering firm that had done the work went out of business. That's happened, folks. It happens more than we'd like to see. And with an extension, some of the engineering firms will be able to do some work, not the major work that is required to get the final permits from the state to come forward and ask for final recordation here. So you have engineers, draftsmen, surveymen, land clearing people, you name it, who are going to be affected by the little work that will be continued to come this way. There is an equity issue here with property. Property is losing its value based on these original approvals. If you were a farmer and you had borrowed money based on a contract of sale to buy a new combine at $150,000, and now that contract is in jeopardy and the approval of that subdivision is in jeopardy, the bank doesn't have the equity it needs, and a call of a loan is certainly possible. And I do know of a farmer who hasn't settled on the land that was approved. So the farmers are in jeopardy as well. And folks, there is no financing. You're a lucky individual today, even if you can get a mortgage, a simple household mortgage. There are short sales and foreclosures that are driving this market into the ground. So there is no financing to developers who would go forward and try to build projects. Those that are in the ground and building up are building very slowly. Thank God they're building at all. We see this extension, a blanket extension, as removing the Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council from placing themselves in an arbitrary position. Should I get the extension, or should Susan? We shouldn't be in a situation where one person is held against the other, and this will give consistency to government. And if government is nothing, it should be consistent, and that's what this will do. A little known effect of this would fly in the face of good land use planning. If you recall, any of the RPCs that were approved first with a change in the underlying zoning. Most of them went to MR, some went to C1. If these approvals for the subdivision or the RPC is lost, then the underlying zoning is still there. That's not lost, it runs with the land. A project, for example, that was approved with a density of 1.8 acres on MR zoning could come back to the Planning and Zoning with, and I hate these words, a by right subdivision by MR of 4 units the acre. Density is on the table. Hate to think what an RPC on C1 would be at 12 units to the acre. It's a little, that's the effect of these RPCs losing their position. It actually is good planning. The Planning and Zoning made the recommendation for approval. You all made the recommendation for approval. The public had input. But if this extension isn't granted, those RPC approvals lost would mean then that the public would not have a say in an increase in density, which may not be in their best interest. Conditional uses are immediately reassessed when they're approved. That reassessment leads to increased taxes, so the school district and the county is collecting tax revenue based on conditional uses that were approved by this board or by this council. If they die because they can't get this blanket extension, then the taxes will be dropped back to what agricultural land is assessed at. And if my memory is correct, AR land that's farmed is zero tax assessments unless it's changed dramatically.
Small.
So, or small. So your tax assessments will be affected if these projects are allowed to die. Nobody wants to do this. No one that I've talked to thought they'd be in a position of having to ask for this situation, but the economy is just driving everything, and it's driving it into the ground. We had a proposal to make to the Planning and Zoning Commission, but it was clear from their discussion prior to any testimony from the public that there was a general consensus that something had to be done. And their concern, and it was a good concern, was they didn't want to create too much more work for the staff, and that a permanent drop-dead date should be the solution. We support that, as this ordinance is written. And it also allows, as Lawrence just mentioned, that if in 2013, God help us if we're still fighting this battle then, if that happens, then both the Planning and Zoning and the County Council can address this issue again if you have to go back to it to try to do it. We certainly hope that there is no reason for me to come from the back aisles again and talk about extensions, because people need to get back to work, and we hope that we can continue with some of these projects and make them go forward a bit much slower than they had planned in the beginning, but at least go forward and keep people working. And that's the purpose of that. We urge you to approve this ordinance because we think it's in the best interest of the people of Sussex County, not particular groups, but all the people of Sussex County. I'll be delighted to try and answer any questions. If not, thank you for the time.
Any questions, Council?
I'm intrigued about this RPC and the underlying zoning that stays there if the RPC expires. We need to look at that.
Well, zoning runs, as you well know, zoning runs with the land, as your attorney would mm-hmm. tell you.
And it should.
Every RPC that I've been involved with, in order to get the density, the first, you remember, you always had two hearings. One would be for the underlying zoning and then the mm-hmm. RPC. Mm-hmm. And when you drop that density, as we did in every RPC that I've been involved in, the density was down, it was approved, 1.8, 2.3, always less than 4. But now we're sitting with zoned land that, and again, I hate this word because there's no such thing as a by right. The law may say you are, and the courts have said you are, but someone could come back and resubmit for a much denser project and change the public will as vested mm-hmm. by your vision and your votes. So. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Thank you.
More questions?
Before we take the next speaker, folks in the back, there are plenty of seats up here in the front. If you just want to come up here, I'm sure that some of these people will. And we also have folding chairs where?
In the back,
there are also some folding chairs. Sir?
Thank you. My name is Lou Kilmer. I'm from Bethany Beach, Delaware. Overall, I can support the concept of a blanket renewal process, but I would like the county council, to consider the fact that since we're looking at a time window of several years, that any changes to the code over that period of time that the council has made, that they are not grandfathered. They would have to meet the new requirements under the code between now and 2013. As a condition of receiving this blanket renewal. Thank you. This is based on a real-life experience in Bethany Beach, where we didn't have a time requirement from the approval of a preliminary plan to approval of a final plan. And we had a developer who sat on this thing for 5 years, and subsequently the zoning had changed from a minimum of 5,000 square feet per lot to 7,000 square feet per lot. But because we didn't have a time window in there, we obviously had to grant them the 5,000 square feet. So just based on real world scenarios, I think that should be a condition of receiving this blanket requirement, this blanket. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in support?
Hi, good morning, council members. I'm Bruce Patrick, Vice President of Engineering with Tidewater Utilities and Tidewater Environmental Services. And first, I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to discuss the ordinance that gives a 2-year temporary extension. Tidewater supports this ordinance, and as Mr. Lank mentioned, we sent a letter in on April 18th, 2011. So I'll be brief, I won't reiterate the points. I just wanted to illustrate our support. And as a regulated water and wastewater utility, we operate under the realm of many governmental agencies, so we require many approvals. Just a brief list, DENREC, the Division of Public Health, DelDOT, the conservation districts, various local governments, including the county. To develop regional systems, which is what we do, we try to do regional planning because it's more efficient and effective for everyone. It's more economical in the long run. And they require conditional use approvals from the county. So in doing so, there's significant science and significant engineering that goes into this process. So it takes a lot of time and a lot of money to actually obtain the conditional use approval and then to go through the full permitting process itself. Just for background, for a conditional use alone, we obtain conditional uses for elevated water storage tanks, for regional water facilities, for regional wastewater facilities. Depending on the size of the facility and the type of the use, just to get through the conditional use process, you could be looking anywhere from $50,000 up to $250,000. So it's a large variation, but it depends. You have surveys, the topo that goes along with the surveys, the preliminary engineering. So when you're looking at a 300-acre site, certainly you'd be up to the $250,000 range. When you're looking at perhaps an elevated tank site where you're doing the geotechnical work and so forth, that's a $50,000 range. In addition, after that's done, the journey really begins at that point where you go into the full-blown engineering process. And I won't get into the details of it, but that's an additional, on the low end, $100,000 for a relatively small project and $1 million plus for a larger project. And throughout the process, it's quite time consuming. I mean, there are requirements for different types of field monitoring that in itself could take a 1 to 2 year period just to go through those processes to determine, you know, the final engineering design and so forth. So once you get the permit, actually even after a multi-year process, there's often lag times with the materials that you order and so forth. When you go to build an elevated storage tank, there's often times where the steel, it's 8 to 9 months to get the steel manufactured, and you do not want to order the steel prior to getting your permits approved. So because of these issues, it makes regional planning difficult, and it's almost always greater than 3 years to go through the process and get to the point where you're ready to start construction. So for the reasons mentioned, we support this temporary extension, and we certainly appreciate your time and consideration on this issue.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have big projects in there that might be affected? Do you not?
We,
Wanted,
we have,
is Wannandale part of one of the ones?
Multiple projects, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah. Could you, we don't have a list yet. Could you tell me what yours are?
I know we have one project that you just mentioned. We have $1.6 million invested, and it may or, that may or may not be affected. That's a very long permitting process. We're getting close, but close doesn't cut it. If the wire comes down, you know, at the end of the year, at the end of that time frame, you have to go back through that process once again, which is again very expensive and time consuming. We have another one over on the Laurel area that we have another $500,000 invested in. So we have over about $2.3 million in two projects.
In Laurel, did you say?
That's a separate one.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Within the last couple of years, unfortunately, we've had conditional uses expire. We had an Angola conditional use where we planned to build an elevated tank. We had to go back through that process because it was a couple of years ago just because of the time frame. And again, there was significant money that was spent to go back through that process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support of this ordinance?
Yes, my name is Dustin Oldfather. I live in Milton, Delaware. Pleased to see you all. I am a realtor with Ocean Atlantic Sotheby's International Realty and a member of the Sussex County Public Policy Committee. As we see it, the development extension ordinance is really about property value preservation for the county. The development extension allows time for builders and development to secure alternative financing and some proactive solutions in light of the recent banking flux. It's been difficult to obtain equity. And if it's not approved, there's going to be a severe impact to the county, and it will jeopardize the real estate recovery. We'll see lower property values as the land will be devalued without the approvals. This also lowers appraisals, which will create an environment for more short sale workouts, which we're seeing at 30 cents on the dollar. This has a ripple effect throughout the economy as it continues to lower property values throughout the area for each segment that is affected or subdivision that is affected. This also means lower transfer taxes and lower real estate taxes in the future, and further depresses and lengthens the housing recovery in Sussex County. So we respectfully request the County Council support the ordinance, and thank you for your consideration.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else in support?
And values are going down. We can't stop that.
Good afternoon. My name is Tom Ford. I'm president of Land Design in Ocean View, Delaware. And I have to say the real estate market has had some devastating effects on a lot of engineering firms who have cut back. We've been fortunate to maintain ourselves based basically on projects that have been approved in this past period from 2009 through, and even before that. There's many planning issues that arise simply with during the course of from preliminary approval to final approval that are difficult to assess the time length it takes to get a job done. I have one project that we've been working on, and we have had extensions too, though we're close to wrapping up, that it's been the sewer that has actually been working with Sussex County itself in that regard. It took over a year just to get through the concept plan approval. And once you're through the concept plan approval, You couldn't go for annexation until that approval was done. So now we're in the annexation stage of that project. The other permits on that project have been brought near to fruition. We're afraid to finalize them because the clock starts ticking on every single one of those permits, such as DelDOT. DelDOT only allows you 1 year once you're approved to pull your entrance permit. So even though we're at the final stage with DelDOT, I haven't submitted it deliberately because we don't want that clock ticking until we get the other approvals in line, which is basically the biggest one right now is sewer. So there's a lot of complications on major projects that a land planning firm needs to consider during the sequencing of getting those permits. And then at the very end, you try to bring them all in at about the same time, so the clock starts ticking on each and every one of them about the same. So I would like just to have my name on the record that I'm in favor of this and ask for you to support it.
You have some big projects then in the there may expire some soon, is what you're saying?
We have four projects we're working on right now that are in this time frame.
Where are they?
They're all in Sussex County, obviously. Down in the Fenwick Island area, we have a project known as Waters Run. We have Marsh Island, which is the golf course project. We have another project known as Marsh Properties, which is in that same area, and another project known as Vessels, which is up in the Lewis area.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in support?
Hello, my name is Chris Weeks. I live in Rehoboth Beach. I am employed by Becker Morgan Group, architects and engineers. I am a member, not a board member, but a member of CDAC. I am also a board member of the Rehoboth Beach Dewey Beach Chamber of Commerce. But I'd like to make my comments on as a son-in-law. And I wanted to remind council that many of the projects that would be affected by this issue are small businesses, small families that are looking to take advantage of their property. And fortunately, my in-laws were able to do so. A small project, less than 2 acres, 11 townhouses, but were able to benefit from that. And so I would just ask that you remember that not all of the developers that would be affected by this issue are large, multi-state, do this for a living. Many of them are small businesses, small families that are hopefully going to benefit from the land that they worked for quite a while. So I ask that the council support this this ordinance. Thank you.
Anyone else? This is in support.
I'm Rich Collins. I represent the Positive Growth Alliance. Currently, our offices are in Harbison. You've heard most of the technical reasons for approving this, including the fact that appraisals are so low that basically a bank really can't give financing right now because so many of the appraisals are coming in so low. There just isn't enough equity. Hopefully, that is an artificial situation. So many times the economy goes way up too high. And then when it collapses, it goes way down too low. Hopefully, we'll get back to some sense of equilibrium. Chris just touched on another point. I have a message here from one of my friends. He is developing his own land. He spent several hundred thousand dollars getting to a preliminary approval, which he's achieved. But he's making the point that once you get too far into that time frame, the bank is hesitant to lend the money because they fear the time frame will run out before you come to fruition. And that's another element of risk. The other thing I really would like to emphasize, I've heard so many people tell me that the process becomes so long and complicated, not so much from the county standpoint, but DelDOT in particular. It's almost like the time frames we have set out now over the last, say, 10 years, they're not up with the times any longer because DelDOT can take, I've heard of people waiting 2 or 3 years just to get DLDOT approvals. And it's just incredibly unpredictable, let's put it that way. The point I'd really like to make, though, is this. A few years ago, Sussex County government was underfunded. The pension plan was underfunded. County had debt. And no one really saw a path forward at that moment for the kind of prosperity that we achieved during the decade of the 2000s. The result is that now Sussex County government is probably financially the most stable of the county governments, the only one that has not had to raise taxes. And if you look at where most of the development occurred in the eastern side, you have the newest infrastructure, the best infrastructure in terms of roads, sewers, schools, the newest housing stock, whenever Sussex County has been rated by various places like AARP as to whether or not this is a good place to live, we always come in at one of the top places in the country as a retirement destination. Those things all just came about during, and I would submit, because of the development boom. So during that period, I think most people felt they were doing better. Whether they directly benefited from development, wages were going up, there were more jobs, everything was getting better. Now things are moving the opposite direction, quite honestly. My question is this. As a government of the people, is the government's role just to rigidly enforce a set of rules, no matter what the consequences? Or is there any desire by the government to assist this economy to get back on its feet? When will America become about opportunity again? I do not see failed developments, bankruptcy, people out of work, engineering firms going out of business as America, the land of opportunity. And I'm just hoping that somehow we can, at all levels of government, not just here, but at the federal government on down, somehow find that our leaders get back in tune with helping the average person have a better life.
Richard, I hear you on the radio all the time, and government is never the solution, but now you think government is the solution. But I'm just want to follow up on that a little bit, because I like talking with you.
Can I respond to that?
Well, the marketplace. You believe in the marketplace. I hear again on how strong the marketplace is. And do you believe in supply and demand? I think you do, right?
I do.
Don't you think that after all these approvals that came running through here, everybody got everything approved, every little inch of whatever they could get?
Well, that's not the case. I know quite a few that didn't.
Okay, but maybe with supply and demand, wouldn't it be, I mean, the way I look at things is like in the housing market, you know, let a lot of these foreclosures, you know, go and get, you know, through the market, and the market will straighten itself out. Government's not going to be able to intervene and change anything. So if we did this today, how would any of these projects change? There's still no financing. The market is still terrible. Nobody's buying anything. Nobody's going to be moving these projects forward. Everything's just going to stop, just like it is now. We're not going to be able to affect anything, I don't think. So
the sunset provision was not even created until, what, I think with the 1997 land use plan. Prior to that, I believe that's the time, it didn't exist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was said that we needed that because we had so much growth that we had to know where the projects were going to be and know when they would go away if they weren't developed. That reason for having a sunset provision at all has gone away. An artificial government deadline to just strike someone off the books because of circumstances, not only outside of their control, George, but because government itself, and I'm not, again, accusing Sussex County, but other agencies started elongating the process to where many projects were in risk of defaulting even before the economic crisis. I had any number of people tell me they were close to a deadline and they couldn't get DLDOT to move or DENREC to make a decision. I just think it's a very artificial thing. It has nothing to do with supply and demand. When and if the market comes back, these places can sell, and if it doesn't come back, they won't. That's supply and demand.
Well, on the sunsetting is the projects that have gotten approval and just haven't done anything, right?
They have done lots of things.
Wait, no.
Some of them are going into the bank, every bank they can find, asking for financing, and they are not able to get it. Nor can, from what I understand, virtually anyone get it.
I can.
Right, okay. Just curious about your take on how the...
Well, I mean, to make it clear, this is an artificial government construct, this sunset thing right from the start. It has nothing to do with the free market. It's the opposite of the free market.
People have a right to know when something's going to expire. They have a right to that, to the sunset.
Who are those people? Why do they have... Joan, let me answer this question. You know, when I bought my house, I knew where my property line was. And if my neighbor decided to put a doghouse on his side of his line, I knew darn well I didn't have the right to go over there and tell him to move his doghouse. I do not understand why people who do not own anything, but who have gotten tremendous benefits, and I defy anyone to argue with me that that development boom is not a benefit to Sussex County, who now say, well, I'm going to wave my magic wand, even though I haven't got one thin dime involved, and I'm going to decide for them what happens to them. I don't get that.
We all have a right to participate in how this county grows.
Okay, well, we're going to differ on that one. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in support?
My name is Dan Kramer. Now, I'll tell you what, the concept you have may be great, but the problem is, just recently the Attorney General ruled that you guys didn't know what you were doing. Here's another point. You guys don't know what you're doing. Why not? This ordinance was not properly introduced a couple of months ago, whenever it was done. It was not properly introduced. You want a problem? You know, the Attorney General, you know, would love to have, how many more complaints does she want? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, you go ahead and pass this the way it is, and you will have a problem. You better think twice before you pass this bill. Redo it, come back, and the concept is good, but do it correctly. Thank you.
On that, I got a joke that I got to be in Baltimore.
Drive safely.
I assume that was in favor of you, if we asked that.
I don't know.
Let's not go there. Wait, no, don't assume anything.
No. Yeah, don't assume anything.
Do it properly.
I'm saying that when we ask anybody else in favor of, and he right. Down front.
All right. Now I'll ask.
That's the only thing that brought him down.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'll ask the question again. Is there anyone else here in favor of who wishes to speak?
Or any comments? Something like this.
No one else. Anybody in opposition to this who would like to speak, sir?
I was about to say good morning, members of council. Unfortunately, I think it's now the afternoon. So good afternoon, council members. I speak in opposition to this proposed ordinance as written. First of all, a blanket ordinance and a blanket basically extension without any reason is like a judge walking into a courtroom and saying everyone is acquitted, have a good day. The reason for the idea of extension requests and applications is to find out if reasons are valid or not. And this is the job, despite what one speaker has said, it is the job of county council and it is the job of the commission to decide what reasons are valid and what is not. That is why you are elected or appointed. It is not just to whatever people want to give them. All right, the other item here is this date beginning in January of 2009, the date that they want to go with, is somewhere fairly close to the date when we lost our last in-house qualified land use planner. And this would be a good extension now to be able to hopefully employ an in-house qualified land use planner, which we still don't have, to look over applications for extension and see where they fit with the general plan of the county and where they don't. It's a golden opportunity to double check and make sure that what is being done is correct. The other problem, despite what one speaker has said, that the preference would be to go back to the old constitutional system of only white male property owners can vote. I think most of us here believe that anyone here who is a citizen of Sussex County has a right to know what's going on and to have an idea of when things should continue and when they should not. Finally, the idea of the disaster in the market right now is partly because, as Mr. Cole has said, of the glut of approvals. I believe there was a study made about a year ago where it's going to take somewhere in the area of 2050 before all the approvals that have already been given actually will catch up to the demand. By continuing extensions, what's happening is you are, in point of fact, devaluing the land because there is so much in the way of approvals the demand can't match what is currently approved. How is that going to help the economy? I suggest strongly that you reconsider this and also the fact that you're acting on incomplete information. As Mr. Lank has said, he doesn't even have all the data yet. And I would hope before you vote, you make sure you have all the data. Otherwise, I think it's an extremely irresponsible thing to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Questions, if any? Thank you very much.
Anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition?
Someone in the back, I think, has her hand up.
This lady.
You're behind her.
Get lined up.
Come get in line. You're going to be good to go.
I'm Carol Summers from Lewis, and I'm speaking on behalf of the League of Women Voters. The League of Women Voters Sussex County opposes this proposed ordinance because it is premature, hasty, and unneeded. At this point, the size of the problem remains unknown. The number of applications affected have not been identified, nor is there a map showing where existing and improved projects are located. The proposed ordinance is also unfair. It is unfair to those developers who were in compliance with the existing regulations but required to reapply because of sundowning. It is also unfair to homeowners. In this period of economic struggle, excessive housing growth will serve to diminish the value of existing homes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition? Yeah. Well, there's ladies standing in line back here. Why don't you come on?
There was a gentleman somewhere back there.
We're here.
Sir, you're up.
That's right. We have to be give equal
and,
time.
And then lady standing there, and then lady over here.
Yeah. Okay. Good afternoon, members of council. My name is Henry Glowiak. I live near Lewis. I'm vice president of the Citizens Coalition. I believe our president, Michael Tyler, has submitted a letter regarding this issue. I'm a firm believer in the capitalist system, in the free market, and it is very ironic and to me hypocritical that development interests who have spoken here today, spoken many, many times in the past when there have been public hearings concerning proposed developments, the development interest in the development community has always invoke the free market. And to me, it's very hypocritical now that they want government intervention, government protection for projects that they went into knowing full well what the rules were, and now they want a bailout. They made an investment, and we all take risks. I've taken risks of my own in my own investment life, and I know what they were. I don't expect the playing field to be changed. This is nothing more, this entire proposal is nothing more but corporate welfare. The free market system is designed to work the way it is. The developers have nothing but themselves to blame for the housing glut that we have, along with some of the banking interests, of course. But my own personal property is devalued because there's such a glut in housing. This would just, the extension, the blanket extension, would be doing nothing more than perpetuate the glut of housing that we already have and how we've all suffered property value loss. The other states have been invoked today by a couple of speakers. They fail to mention that these other states, more than likely, have zoning restrictions far more restrictive than we have in Sussex County. Sussex County, Delaware, has the most liberal zoning in probably the entire country, but definitely in this entire Mid-Atlantic region. The developers have gotten more than their fair share and have taken advantage of our system. And now they want more and more and more. I mean, why not just do away with all the rules? I mean, step by step, that's what the development community is trying to do, and particularly this one.
Bless you.
Bless you.
So my final...
What's his train of thought?
He's doing fine. Leave him alone.
So we need to consider not approving this blanket extension. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am?
My name's Joe Klinge. I'm in Rehoboth Beach. I'm a member of the League. A lot has been said about the map or the list of approved projects. We first brought this up in March of 2010 when we were given a tour of this building and all the great things that go on in it, and we asked the map department if such a map existed. They said no, but they were working on it, March of 2010. I came before council in September of 2010 and asked about the map. You all didn't seem to know much about it then, but you said you'd get on it. And I came once before, and I haven't been able to find that date. But certainly since September of 2010, this has been an issue. And the point is that as you make your decisions, as you decide where these permits should be granted, applications should be approved, you talk about sometimes infrastructure and traffic, and you say, well, this one project isn't going to affect the traffic on Plantation Road. But if you don't know, there have been six other projects granted along that area or by over by Lewis or wherever, in the western part of the state, God help us. You know, how do you know that you're making appropriate, intelligent decisions? So I urge you to, if you insist on doing this, that perhaps a solution, and this is not the League, but myself speaking, perhaps you should have a moratorium on all future applications and project approvals until such time as you know what you've already approved. What's out there? What's going to happen? What will it mean to our water, to our roads, to our school systems? If you don't know this, you're in a vacuum, and it affects all of us, and it's a danger to all of us. So I urge you to consider that. If you must give this extension, then put a guard on yourself and until you know what's going on.
Well, you know what the argument would be with that? A moratorium is the government getting involved in the marketplace.
Right.
But wait, that's what we're doing.
It's just we need to know. We need to know what the traffic is going to be.
It should be online. You should be able to access it anytime.
We should know anytime that you're asked to approve something. And many of them are valid, but what are the consequences? We've talked about the consequences of not granting this, but I urge you all to consider the consequences of granting it. Mm-hmm. I hope Mr. Phillips will listen to what you all might have to say about that when he returns. Thank you.
Do some farming, I guess.
Wonder how she lived in Delaware. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. I'm Roberta Hemrick. I live in Lewis.
I totally agree with everything that John Walsh said, and that was half of my spiel here, so I will skip that altogether. What I'd like to know, why do we continue to bail out the big players while the average citizens are thrown no such lifelines? Every day, people are being financially evicted from their homes and foreclosed upon, and their homes are being taken from them. The county is not placing a moratorium on this to give folks the opportunity to get help. Why should it be different for the developers? I believe that this would send out a very bad message to the general public if this is approved. We're already the butt of bad jokes because we continue to pay two developers not to develop. Do we want to further damage our image by approving something of this sort? Thank you
still
for your time.
Still not doing that now.
I know that, but it's still Delaware.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So
right.
They it's, don't distinguish that, too
doesn't
often.
Matter. Okay.
Thank you.
How do you do? My name is Ginny Weeks. I live in Milton. I agree with most everything the people before me who are against this say. I recognize that you're all between a rock and a hard place. It's a difficult place to be when the economy goes south a bit. I would like to have a question answered if I can. Are our transfer fees way down?
Oh, yeah.
They're down. How's the financial health of Sussex County at the moment?
The budget's balanced, right?
Great.
Good.
It's fine.
But
okay.
We're not able to help as many people as we had in the past. We have many people in line for rehabs, housing rehabs, that are living in substandard housing in great need. We haven't been able to help those thousand
okay.
people. So, you know, it only goes
I
so far.
I agree that something has to be done. Mm-hmm. I don't think a blanket is the way to do it. I think that you shouldn't do anything if you don't have a list of all the different projects. Because let's face it, some of these projects were just simply ill-conceived. It's not the market. It's not anything else. They were ill-conceived, and those should be dropped and gotten rid of. Perhaps you need to look at it in segments. Perhaps subdivisions in one segment, conditional uses in another. Perhaps those that have preliminary approval and as opposed to those that have final approval, maybe different kinds of things. And the conditional use, I mean, people who cannot get their conditional uses done, maybe it shouldn't be done. It's been my objection since I've come to Sussex County, and I have some, I've been on boards in other places, land use boards. In Sussex County, you use a conditional use for spot zoning. It's as simple and as plain as that. You approve sewer plants, you approve office buildings. The philosophy of a conditional use is that it allows a non-conforming use in an area where it's not permitted, obviously, that doesn't disrupt and change the character of the neighborhood. That's not what happens here. You guys just don't do spot zoning, you do conditional use. And do all the projects now comply with the new comp plan? If they don't, they should. They're being given a gift. They should comply with what the county feels the new comp plan does. And I can't agree more than with the person who said, please get yourself a planner. Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who wishes to speak to this?
Good afternoon. Excuse me, I have a very bad cold. My name is Betty Deacon. I live in the unincorporated part of Lewis, Delaware. I'm opposed to this extension for these previously approved developments. I have requested and tried to get information from the county government listing the developments this would include and that had previously been approved. My understanding is there is no computerized list, that there's a handwritten list. It may not even be complete. And we really don't know what you're voting on today, except for a blanket approval of several developments. So I'm asking you, is this legal? Is this a legal hearing? If I don't know what the council will possibly be voting on today, then how does the council know what they're going to be voting on today? Perhaps some of the members of the council would have voted for and then voted against some specific projects included in the sweeping uninformative ordinance. Is this legal? Would this ordinance without specific stand up in court? I personally reject the premise that since most of the county's tax income comes from transfer taxes. This must be approved. What happens when we finally run out of land to develop? I believe it is time that the county computerize these land deals so that any individual taxpayer in the county has the right to go online and see what is happening in their county. Finally, this would provide this council the information they need in order to make an informed decision before you vote. Maybe that would also make a hearing of this type legal. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Linda Bennett. I'm from the unincorporated part of Lewis. And I can only agree with what everybody else has said in opposition to this. I don't think that the plan is bad. I think that it should be, it should depend on where and what you are approving extension for. We have too many problems with roads and other means of transportation, especially roads. And we have problems with water supply. And the water supply being negatively impacted by things underground. I think also that we definitely need professional zoning so that we know exactly what we're doing from people who have been trained in this. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Anyone else who wishes to speak?
Afternoon. Barbara Bond from the City of Lewis. I was going to raise the issue of supply and demand as a concept, and Councilman Cole did a very good job of doing that, so I won't repeat his arguments. But I wondered if, and I understand the dilemma that you're faced with, but if you want to be proactive, which I see this as a proactive approach, why don't you convene a meeting of the many, many local banks that are in this area and have a conversation about their issues, the development community's issues, and see if there can't be some sort of reconciliation or at least accommodation that would keep the market moving. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Valerie Driscoll. I live at 17 Beaver Dam Reach in Rehoboth. The concern that I have around the blanket approval is I think that you all are limiting critical information that you may need to have. I've listened to the speakers, both pro and con, giving different reasons for why things aren't working and why development is not taking place. But until you hear them individually, you're not going to be able to compile the information that lets you all know what the roadblocks are for development in the different areas in the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who wishes to speak, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Bill Zach. I live just off Route 24. I have a Lewis mailing address. I have a couple of observations that are slightly tangential to the difficult decision you've got, but not completely. One is the issue of the land use planning, which I couldn't emphasize more my agreement with the person who said this was a golden opportunity. This is long overdue. We should have, if citizens in the community are to have a meaningful voice in decisions about development, they have to have information. One is a map that would give us a complete picture of what's been approved and pending approvals for development so that the larger context can be understood by citizens, and they wouldn't simply be victimized by a segmentational presentation of development where the citizens who might respond cannot respond because they don't know how this particular little patch fits into the larger picture. And similarly, a land use planner would be a tremendous benefit to the county, should be in place. And I would add that my personal interest is primarily environmental with regard to the inland bays and their health, with property values as a result of the tourist industry and the resort industry, housing, fishing, tourism, and the health of those bays. And, you know, development impacts those bays. A land use planner and maps would tell us at what critical junctures this precious resource was being condemned to destroy an economy, to limit property values, to destroy tourism. Those things need to be done. County Council has representation at the Center for the Inland Bays, but aside from your challenge about home rule, I haven't seen a lot of participation from council in the discussions of how are we going to protect those bays. And again, I think segmentation is the enemy of good planning and citizen involvement. And I think that this moment should be a moment for reconsideration as well as for an immediate decision that you have. It should be about larger matters as well. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition? Seeing none, we'll consider the public comment section of this closed. Mr. Benson.
Public comment section will be closed. We'll close the public hearing. It would seem that there are some concern about the number of these that's sitting out there. I guess Mr. Lang is reviewing. I would think it would be good for us to have those numbers and locations of the same. If you could provide that to council, I think that would be helpful. And then we could then move forward from that point in time.
How long would it take?
Is that something?
I don't know. Mr. Lang, how long do you think that would take to get the, you said 50, there was a number you used this morning. I'm sorry, I forgot what you said, 56, 58, 50 something.
Well, if you went by what's already online, go online, you can find out any subdivision that's already a record.
Okay.
As far as which ones are pending, we'd have to create a map for that purpose.
Well, I don't necessarily, I just wanted to know how many there were and where they were. You haven't got to give me a map. I can find them in Sussex County. I might just want to know.
No, I'm just saying the majority of ones that are already approved, have final approval, are online.
Okay.
They're on the tax maps.
And you referenced something today about the number 56 or 58.
I wonder if 50 or 55 filed, I need to pull the record on to verify what their status
okay.
is.
Okay. 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 And that should take
at
how long?
At the end of this morning when I checked it to verify what I needed to look at.
What do you think that should you've done the thing besides but just in a normal process.
Put it in a format so I can present something to council as far as the record, several weeks.
Yeah, at least he's got other work to do. He can't just
well, that's the problem. Right. So mm-hmm. You try to do it when you can get a few minutes to work on it. That's mm-hmm. the problem. Mm-hmm. If yeah. I had, that's all I had to do.
I would make a recommendation, Mr. Vincent, just to maybe just to defer, and then we'll just wait and we hear from Lawrence when he gets a... You know, instead of putting the pressure on them to try to rush something through or whatever.
If the direction is from council that you want a report showing all the numbers on conditional uses, RPCs, and change of zones and subdivision, it can be done.
Well, I think we need more information.
If we need a mass, we can do that.
Yeah, I think we need more information. I think the public would like to see more information, and it gives a better picture. So if for somehow you can bring a better picture, I don't know what it would require. I'll leave that up to you. You're the director. If you could just put something together, I don't think we need to dictate to him what he...
Mr. Wilson.
I think some people have been misinformed here. I believe, personally, every time one of these developments has been approved, the maps have been put up on the boards here, the maps have been sent out, notice has been sent out to the nearest public, the neighbors. Everybody knows that there's development going on if they're in that neighborhood. So nobody can come here and say they're really misinformed, they don't know what's going on here. And Mr. Lank here says, according to what he's saying, there's also online that he has all this information. So it's not quite as bad. And it kind of says it looks bad on our part. It looks bad on Mr. Lank's part. Almost some of the things have been said here, and I don't think all is a little disingenuous or misinformed. I don't know which it could be. But that's the way I see it. And I think, am I somewhere online here, Mr. Lang?
Well, what I stated was that if you want to know what's a record, what's been recorded, which would be subdivision have received final approval and have gone to recordation, they're online.
Where is that, Mr. Lang?
On the county tax maps. They're a part of the tax map system.
And it'll tell you what's been recorded?
It'll actually show you what's there. But it shows every lot that's been established with a number in the county.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure there's a couple. There may be some that are recorded that haven't shown up on the tax map yet, but it's a very minimal number project-wise.
You know, another interesting number would be just how many lots are we talking about when you add up all these subdivisions and conditional uses and RPCs? What are we looking at? What kind of number?
Large number.
Yes. That's where the old supply and demand kind of comes into play.
It's a substantial number. I can't say that.
I know. We all know that. I think everybody's aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, we can break it down by year of what's been approved and what's been denied, any way you want to do it, but it's going to... The more it generates, the more time it's going to take.
This could be a correction in our local market is what's happening, and we're just nothing we can do to change it, folks. I hate to tell you that. But
I couldn't agree with you more.
Correction.
But we can supply the information.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lang, what now?
I say we can supply the information. It's going to take time.
Okay. Well,
I would not think that we need to put a time frame on this issue. It's not like a we need a drop dead date is what I'm saying. There's nothing pending that's got
there's people out there that are trying to survive, and people are dropping by the wayside because we are putting an arbitrary drop dead date on them getting everything done. And
in that
when the economy was booming, all we wanted to do was regulate, slow down. Now that the economy is dead, this is a very minor effort on our part to try to help save some jobs. I don't see a problem with it.
So you're going to create a job with this, are you?
Hundreds of jobs could be saved by this.
I wish you would, too, but just if you all believe that, I'm sitting with the wrong group.
Anything else, Council?
No, I think we should defer, absolutely.
Oh, I think we're going to have to, yes.
Well, is that a motion?
I make a motion that we defer and just leave the record open for Mr. Lank to produce a report back to us.
Second.
Just leave
a
like
motion to second to defer for Mr. Lank to get back to report to us. I would, okay, we can deal with that.
And he kind of has an understanding.
Sooner versus later. Okay. Any questions on the motion?
I guess I'm a little concerned that this is just an open-ended, you know, get back with us sometime. Do you need more staff?
We can hire some people.
According to the public, I need a land use planner because I don't appear to be qualified.
And you're right. This will create jobs. This
put it that way.
Applications are picking up again, aren't they, Mr. Lake?
I won't say that they're picking up by any kind of large number, Mrs. Deaver, because I get
not in large
three
numbers,
left and conditional use to change zone subdivisions, and then I get seven come in.
Mm-hmm.
So what our process was a year and a half ago was 18 to 22 months to go through a process of subdivision, conditional use, or change zone. And today, if you ask me, I would say 3 or 4 months would probably be the max.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's almost back to the way it was 10, 15 years ago when people were complaining that we were going too fast. So we're doing it in 10 weeks. So same thing. It's just the numbers aren't there for the applications. Still sending stuff to Delta.
Can I amend the motion to put a 30-day period on his report?
You certainly can.
I'll second.
Have a second. Okay. We have a motion and a second to amend the motion to put a 30-day time limit on the report back from Mr. Lank to Council.
Can he get it done in 30 days?
He'll try.
He'll certainly try. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll try.
I'm off next week, but I'll give you what I can in 30 days.
Well, could he get an extension on that?
If he comes back to us, I'm sure he can't get it done. I'm sure we do something.
I will ask for an extension if that.
We might get it to you first.
If I need it.
We're going to give a blanket extension.
We will vote on the amendment first. The amendment is to extend the 30-day period for report back, Mr. Lank. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
No, I think I don't. He's got a week. He's taking off. There's no way he's going to make it.
Mm-mm. Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson, yeah, I vote yes. Then we'll vote on the motion. The motion is to...
See, I was the only one cared about your learns.
Defer.
Sorry, I can do it.
We'll give him an extension.
We'll vote on the motion to defer first language report back to us. Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I would vote no. I think that we've got enough information today. This is not about specific... Mr. President, can I have the floor, please? This is not about specific applications. This is not about whether one project is better than the other or circumstances are different. This is about an economic collapse in this county that has caused a tremendous amount of hardship, and this is an opportunity for us to move forward and do something. We campaign on jobs, but yet we're given testimony that this would help maintain and create jobs. We're going to do everything we can to delay it. I say no.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, I'm going to say yes, and on the reason that he's got 30 days, and I think that 30 days we can get something done here and come back, and I don't know why we can't progress with this thing and make it a proven and not have so much government interference here. And I'm not, and it's not our problem as much as it is really the natural resources and highway department, especially natural resources, a big holdup for these people trying to get something done. So anyway, I'm going to vote yes at this time.
Thank you. Although yes, motion carried. We want this back, Mr. Baker, on our agenda 30 days from now.
Yes.
And I'm sure Mr. Lankin is vacation will work on this, I'm sure, expeditiously. On his laptop or something there.
Not likely.
Oh, not likely. Okay. On a golf course or wherever it is.
Sam, all these other states.